Okay, hello. So we are on a roll. I literally just finished the episode that's going to come out before this one, and I already teased about this one. So this, I wanted to talk about health anxiety and what those thoughts can look like and like where it comes from. And I'm going to talk about mainly my experience with this and like just how much it came from obviously nervous system and like a state of fight or flight and like not trusting myself, not surroundings, but how this is very much shaped in childhood. And it's funny because it only dawned on me the other day. So I got food poisoning, and basically I was like wondering why my thoughts were going the way they were going. So I'm gonna talk about it now. So got food poisoning, and the next day I'm in Bali obviously, and I was like, I couldn't even keep down water. So I was like, over here, it's very normal to get like a drip. A lot of people get it for Bali belly. I was also getting drip for Bali belly, so I'm presuming they class Bali belly and food poisoning as the same thing. But anyways, I had salmonella, so that was great. That was fun. That was not fucking fun. I did not enjoy that. But I was getting a drip. Anyways, my thoughts started going very fear-based. And when my thoughts go very fear-based, I always take it as a sign that my nervous system doesn't feel safe and I'm in a state of fight or flight. And what people get in the habit of is when they don't know their bodies enough and they don't know or understand nervous systems, which again isn't taught to us. So you're not gonna know it unless you educate yourself on this, or like a lot of people obviously, again, social media is fantastic. Sorry, I'm going off on a bit of a tangent here. Sorry, social media is fantastic. So it helps us understand so many things: attachment style, nervous system, fight or flight, all these different things. So it does allow us to educate ourselves. But anyways, that is a sign for me. So you might be able to take that for yourself and understand your own fear-based thoughts. So when my fear-based thoughts come in and they're like really extreme, this is how extreme my thoughts were getting, right? So I was thinking, oh God, this nurse is coming to my house and she has to put a needle in my arm and obviously give me the drip. Straight away, my head went to sepsis. Like, how wild is that, right? Fucking sepsis. I have got drips in Bali before and my head has never went there. But for whatever reason, my nervous system, obviously from being sick all night and just like in a state of like, I'm after been awake the whole night, I haven't really slept. Again, my nervous system is just like on overdrive. It's trying to keep me safe, trying to keep my body safe. And I'm having these thoughts of like, what if the needle's not? And I'm like, these are just arguments I'm having back and forth in my head. And I'm like, curious, she's literally a trained nurse. Like, what are you talking about? She's just coming out of the house. Of course, she has a clean needle. So anyways, I'm sitting on the couch, I'm getting the needle, but I do happen to, the fear-based thoughts almost like took over. I had to ask her. I was like, are these needles clean? I was like, and I just made up the fact that I was like, oh, I have a fear of needles. I don't have a fear of needles. I just had to make that up so I didn't look like a crazy bitch being like, why are you asking me, is the needle clean? Of course it's clean. But again, never shy away. Always ask. Don't be afraid to ask if these are the thoughts you're having, okay? But I knew in that moment, I was like, this isn't me. This isn't logically me. I'm right now in a state of fear. I'm feeling so much fear right now. And because I'm feeling so much fear right now, I need to ask her so she can validate that I'm okay, I'm going to be safe, because I didn't trust myself enough, or my body didn't trust me enough to just regulate myself and say, Kira, you're going to be fine. And that's number one, because it's out of my control. Like, I'm not the one bringing the needle. I'm not the one sticking the needle in my arm. So I don't know. It's out of my control. I don't know if that needle's clean or not. And realistically, I didn't know at that point. I just had to trust. But when your nervous system is in a state of fight or flight, it has a very hard time trusting. So it wants to be in control all of the time. So it brought me back to, so I sat, I actually thought about that for the rest of the day. I was like, that was so weird. Why did my thoughts go there? And I said it to Hannah, and obviously we were just like, oh, that's a bit mad, isn't it? But I was sitting with it then for that day, and I was like, I don't know why. Like, I haven't experienced that in quite some time, where my thoughts went very, very extreme, like thinking life or death scenarios. And I notice it cropping up usually when I'm gonna make any big change in my life, or I'm gonna step outside of my comfort zone, or I'm gonna step outside of a pattern that I've always been used to. So I'm gonna give you an example. Let's just say people pleasing. Okay? Let's just say I always people please with my sister, for example. I don't think I do, but I'm gonna use her as an example. I always people please with my sister. When I go out to step outside the ordinary of doing that and say, okay, no more, I'm not gonna people please with my sister anymore, fuck that, I'm done with that cycle, da da da, I will then be bombarded with all of these fear-based thoughts of like, it could be worst case scenario. It could be like, you know, what if something happens to your sister? What if something happens to your sister in the middle of the night? Like, let's just say if I decide I'm not going to people please anymore. So I'm like, we're in a fight. I'm fighting with my sister. This is all hypothetical, right? But I'm fighting with my sister and I've decided I'm not going to text her I'm not going to text her. My head, and I've noticed it, you know, in the past with my own cycles, it's like my head will go straight to, but what if something happens to them, Kira? What if something happens to them? So maybe you should. And that'll be my brain's way of trying to play a worst case scenario out, so then I can go and act on the same behavior, the same people pleasing behaviors that I know don't serve me. But because I have no experience of this new reality that I want to live in, where I don't people please for my sister anymore, I don't know life without this pattern happening. So because you don't know life outside of that comfort zone, the minute you try and step outside that comfort zone, it's going to try and drag you back. So this is where you, I want you to pay attention to when you try and step outside. And this can be as little as anything. You might be trying to go to the gym, you might be trying to start the gym, and you're going to all of a sudden, the minute you go to the gym, you're going to be bombarded with all these thoughts of like worst case scenario, like what if I don't know how to use the machine and everybody's looking at me, and then everybody gathers around me in a circle and starts laughing. Like, when in the world's mind is that, like, when is that ever going to happen? It's never going to happen, right? But that's where your head will go, and your head will try and convince you that you don't need to go to the gym because that's what's going to happen. So don't go to, because your comfort zone is unfortunately not going to the gym. So you stepping outside of that is very unknown. You don't know what is going to happen if you step into the unknown. So anyways, this brings us to where I'm getting at in the whole health anxiety. So some people get this with the gym, like I spoke about. They get it with just like regular things, like worst case scenario, always trying to think of worst case scenario so they feel some level of control. And then sometimes they don't even end up doing the thing that they really want to do because they're bombarded with all of these thoughts. When I was growing up, I didn't realize at the time, obviously, because I was a child. And again, it's so funny because this was all only pieced together actually this week with the needle thing. So I was kind of thinking to myself, I remember at a very young age, and my cousin can actually vouch for this, but I remember at a very young age, set an alarm in the middle of the night. And you're going to be like, what the fuck? So I used to set an alarm in the middle of the night to make sure I was still alive. Like, let that sink in, okay? Now, this is a child. This is me very, like, this is me at a young age. Obviously, young enough that I obviously had my own phone, but young. So early, probably teenage years, I'd say, that I used to set an alarm to make sure I was still alive in the middle of the night. Doesn't make sense, because if I wasn't alive, I'm not going to fucking wake up to the alarm. But that was the logic in my brain. And I remember genuinely waking up some of the nights being like, oh my God, I'm alive. And I dealt with a lot of health anxiety thoughts growing up, like thinking always worst case scenario, especially worst case scenario about my mom and stuff. Like, I'd always think that, but I'd always think it about myself, like cancer. And if my way of thinking about it, see, some people go the other way. They don't want to think about, I'm going to use cancer, for example. They don't want to think about cancer too much because they're afraid that they'll actually manifest that into their life. So I went the other way, whereas I would worry about something so much because that allowed me to feel in control. And then it would feel like it wouldn't happen then. So let's just say if I was concerned about my health, I'd worry about it so much that then, because it wouldn't actually manifest and I wouldn't end up, let's just say, sick, I would be like, oh my God, I have evidence. Like, this is how your brain works. It goes off like evidence and like repetition and everything. I was thinking to myself, oh my God, I have evidence in the past that like every time I worry about something so much, it never actually happened. So I'm just going to keep worrying about these things now and trust that, you know, because I'm worrying about it, God or the universe is going to see that and it's not going to happen then. So this became how my health anxiety like almost manifested. But what is beneath the health anxiety? So what is beneath that little girl of me who was setting an alarm in the middle of the night to make sure she was still alive? It is a nervous system that is fucking fried. It's a nervous system that doesn't feel safe. It's, you're in an environment that doesn't make you feel safe. So I grew up in a very, and I've talked about this in a couple of episodes, but like I've grew up in a very up and down environment. It was very coming and going. I didn't feel safe a lot of the times when I was younger. Mainly comes back to just not feeling safe as a child. And obviously as a child, you don't know these things. You just know mommy and daddy are caregivers. They take care of you. So when one of them isn't behaving in a way that represents, let's just say, how a mom or a dad should behave, and you're not feeling safe with them and you're feeling like you need to be the adult, that then drove me into a state of fight or flight. But I lived in this as a child, and I'm sure some of you listening to this also probably did as well, but I lived in this, and it was a constant state of never feeling safe and always having to worry. So that became my norm. That then grew up into teenage years. It manifested into many different things. It manifested into the control of food. It manifested into my body image. It manifested into the restriction, the binging, all of these different things. The health anxiety, and I've dealt with clients who also have health anxiety, who think worst case scenario about their health all of the time and can't sit easy, can't rest until they get the answer, until somebody else reassures them that they're going to be okay. So exactly what I done with the nurse today, I had to ask her, was that needle clean, to almost reassure me. But But did it really reassure me? No, it didn't, because I was still thinking about it afterwards. I was still nervous. I was still having those fear-based thoughts. And the reason being is because that cannot be given to you by anybody else. You know, no amount of discipline. I spoke about this in the other episode, so that's why I'm bringing kind of, it almost feels like it's one episode, but it's not. So in my last episode, I spoke about how you get a lot of self-worth from feeling and looking so disciplined. And I know I did. And the same goes for safety. Nobody else can give you that safety. You might think the perfect partner is going to give you safety. You might think all the money. And this is something that's cropped up for me this year, is that I thought all the money in the world is going to give me safety, is going to make me feel safe in myself. But the reality is nothing can make you feel safe in yourself other than yourself. You have to be able to regulate yourself. You have to be able to reassure that little girl, like that little girl that's inside of me who didn't feel safe clearly the other day. That's not Kira right now. That's not Kira sitting on the couch getting an IV drip for a bit of salmonella. Like, that's Kira years ago that came true, that didn't feel safe, that didn't trust herself enough to be able to. But how could I? I was obviously a child, but I suppose this is the journey of being an adult. Now, I'm not saying everybody will go through this, but you might go through your own level of trauma. And this has been definitely probably a big trauma response for me, is worrying about things and freaking out about things and thinking worst case scenario in order to try and control the outcome so I feel safe. But the reality is you can never feel safe by trying to control an outcome. You have to be able to regulate. You have to be able to sit in that discomfort. And again, it's never really truly, it's like food. It's never truly about the food. It's never truly about the food or the body image. It's about the triggers. It's about what that makes you feel in yourself. And the trigger the other day was me not feeling safe in myself. And I didn't feel safe enough clearly to be able to just sit there and breathe and remind myself that, Kira, you're okay. You're safe. It's all gonna be okay. Because when it comes to something like healthy, it's a bit different, because body image and food is actually very different, because when you have health concerns or health anxiety, you're thinking death is at the end of this, okay? So you're thinking very much worst case scenario, and you're thinking, what if I die? And that, for a lot of us, can be a very, very fearful thing. And that's obviously clearly where my thoughts went through today, was like fucking sepsis. Sepsis is obviously very extreme, and I didn't think, again, then I'm thinking, oh God, I'm in Bali. I don't feel like I'm in a very, you know, built up place for something like that to happen to me. So this is how my spiral happened. Now, obviously, then eventually I was able to regulate myself and nothing actually happened to me. But your health anxiety is coming from usually a younger place that didn't feel safe enough in her own nervous system. But I want you, if you're someone who deals with health anxiety, because like I said, sorry, there a second ago, at the other end of this, it's different to other worst case scenarios sometimes, because at the end of the health anxiety, worst case scenario is death. So that can be a very fearful thing. And how can you possibly, I know you might sit at the other end of this and be like, how can I possibly like regulate myself when the thought of fucking death is coming in? But what I really have tapped into this year is actually God. And that might be for some people, like I'm not thinking of God in the religion context, okay? I'm thinking of God in terms of universe. I'm thinking of God in terms of my higher self. I just say the word God, but that to some of you might be the universe. It might be divine guidance. It might be my angels. It might be your higher self. Whatever it is for you, I believe it's all just one. It's all just one higher power that you're believing in. And that is why a lot of people turn to, even after like addiction and stuff, they turn to like Jesus. And they turn to God, because it gives them something to anchor in on when they're dealing with the thoughts that they're having. So the same goes for this, is like I haven't dealt with health anxiety probably since before moving to Bali, because that was when I truly, my healing journey started. But before Bali, I used to really have like health anxiety thoughts, like if I taught something, or I remember like even with my ex-girlfriend at the time, I remember getting it, I think it was like a bite on my leg, and I remember freaking the fuck out to her about it. I was like, oh my God, like look at the size of this. This is grown. And then all of a sudden my head went to, again, worst case scenario. Like, well, what if I'm poisoned? Like, what if this? And I remember to the point, like she actually had to calm me down that much, that she actually drew a circle around the bite, sorry, to make sure that it wasn't grown. And that allowed me to calm myself down. But again, that was giving my power outside of myself to be able to tell you, Kira, you're safe. Because I didn't trust myself. I didn't trust myself in order to regulate myself enough to say, Kiri, you're safe. And why didn't I trust myself? Because I hadn't had enough experience of regulating that little girl inside of me. So that little girl that's going back to probably as young as even 5, maybe, where she didn't feel safe in her home and grew up in that state of not feeling safe and having to potentially grow up too soon and be the adult that... But because I was wired that way, I didn't have enough experience now as Kira as an adult, going back to that little girl and saying, Kira, you're okay, you're safe. Like, I'm going to be, and this is what inner child work looks like. I know you're probably like, how did we get here? What the fuck are we talking about? But it all links in together because it's like, I didn't have enough experience regulating that little girl inside of me being like, Kira, I'm here for you now. I'm going to reparent you. I'm going to show you that it's safe. And that's how you unheal inner child trauma, basically, is that you have to go back to that younger child and you have to reparent her. You have to parent her the way that you thought you should have been, the way that you should have been parented in the first place, but you weren't. You have to go back to her now and you have to parent her that same way. So up until 2 years ago, I didn't have any experience with inner child work, really, and very minimal. Like very, very minimal. So I didn't have enough experience then. So that's why I was dealing with a lot of health anxiety thoughts as well, still. And still always jump into worst case scenario about my health. Like, what if I die? And like, what if I don't wake up? And what if I die in my sleep? And like all these crazy thoughts but it all came back to, I needed to be able to trust myself enough to be able to go back to that little girl and remind her that she's safe. Because it's never Kira now. It's never the adult that's in me now that's saying, like, it's literally no big deal, Kira. It's a clean needle. Of course you're going to be fine. Like, don't worry about it. But it's that little girl screaming inside of you, your nervous system that's wired that way from a very young age to not feel safe. That's the one that needs to be regulated. So when it comes to health anxiety, anchoring into something higher than yourself. So that's actually what I found myself doing the other day. I was kind of like, all right, well, like, if God wants that, okay. You know, I have to trust in something. I have to trust in a higher power that is guiding me. And if that's supposed to be my life path of getting, I know this sounds crazy, but of getting sepsis, then... I have to trust in something. I have to trust that there might be a reason for that. And I know that sounds crazy because it's like, oh, does that mean you just like lie back and just die? No, it doesn't. But it means in that moment, if that can bring you a sense of peace, then so be it. And that brought me a sense of peace. I was just like, I trust God so much now because of everything that I've been led through over the last 2 years that I'm like, no, someone out there is looking after me. Someone is guiding me. So I have to trust in that. So if I'm supposed to get fucking sepsis here now in Bali, right, okay, that might be my path. And I have to trust that I'm going to be okay, even if that does happen. And that is what I anchor into. And then I obviously breathe and I remind myself that I am safe in this present moment. But when I find that the spiral is very big, I need to lean on something that's greater than myself in that moment. And that for me is God. And that's how I anchor into the... We're doing something here with this episode because I feel so in flow and I feel just so aligned talking about this because it's the first time I've probably ever spoke about it. And yeah, I just think health anxiety is actually a real issue for a lot of us. And I know for a lot of my life, it dictated so much. It put me in so much fear and so much worry and so much chaos within my own being. But if I had to realize that deep down underneath the health anxiety thoughts, like, you need to think of them like the food. They're just distractions. They're just a way to escape. So the crazy thoughts that you're having now isn't actually reality. It's not, your thoughts aren't facts. Your thoughts aren't truth. They aren't actually what's going to happen. But it is thinking worst case scenario. So it keeps you in a state of fight or flight. What you need to do is you need to anchor into yourself. You need to breathe. Like, really breathe. And you need to go back to, like, ask yourself that one question of like, okay, well, where did I once feel this? Where did I not feel safe? So that's what I always want you to come back to, is that when you're having health anxiety talk, it's a case of you don't feel safe. You don't feel safe in your own body. Your nervous system is in fight or flight. It's in overdrive. So you need to bring yourself, you need to regulate yourself. You need to come back into it, into the present moment to not get caught up in the spirals. But in order to do that, you need to regulate, and regulate looks like breathing and asking yourself, okay, when did I feel this unsafe? And let your mind just guide you back to when you first probably felt that unsafe moment. You know, for me, I know it was like obviously at a very young age for me. And like, I can think of one like right now off the top of my head. So allow your mind to bring you back to whatever memory, even if you're like, surely to God, that couldn't be it. And I know a lot of people who do inner child work as well are like, at the start when they first do it, they're like, oh God, I think that that's just my imagination. I don't think that that's like what, like, no, surely that can't be real. And you'll get into these thoughts and you'll doubt yourself. But allow whatever first memory comes to your mind to be the one that you regulate. Then you need to picture your younger self. And I need you to parent her and regulate her and tell her that she's going to be okay and that she's safe and that you're here with her. And keep saying that. Keep saying that until the fear dissolves, because it's never about the health. It's just about your mind giving yourself something to focus on, something worst case scenario to focus on, so you get distracted and you stay in that level of fight or flight, and you never really truly realize that the power is always within you. Always. It's never outside of you. And, you know, I've dealt with, again, with that with clients, and they obviously finally got to a place where it was like, no, I know I need to be able to reassure myself. I know I don't need the doctors to tell me. I know I don't need someone else to reassure me that I'm going to be okay. I need to be able to do that myself. But sometimes, like me the other day, like, again, prime example, I just needed to ask that nurse, even though I knew she couldn't give me the safety I needed. But it was only upon reflection, I was like, haha, that was so funny. Like, I can't believe that's how crazy my thoughts were getting, that I actually needed to ask her, was the needle okay? Because I didn't feel safe. I just want you to take that on board. And I hope this episode has helped somebody. Because I know how fearful health anxiety can be. And I know how real it also feels. Because you need to remember, when you're living in your fucking head, thoughts feel so real. So I get it. But I just want to remind you that it is a case of just fear. It's pure fear. And even if it's not health anxiety, like I spoke about at the start, it might be you stepping outside your comfort zone. Like, I've had it this year, you know, when I push myself. I've talked about this sometimes. I don't know if I talked about it in an episode, but like the fear of being seen. So when I pushed myself out of that comfort zone and I wanted to, you know, push myself with like content and like dating and all these different things, I was bombarded. I'm not even joking. Especially when it came to like romance and dating, I was bombarded with these thoughts of rejection and like being rejected and not being liked. And I was able to see my weaknesses then. Not weaknesses, sorry, that's like the wrong word. But I was able to see where maybe I still, there was parts of myself that I was still looking for other people to validate. So let's just say in dating, it's hard not to be honest. Like, I'm not going to sit here like a fucking super invincible human. I'm absolutely not. When you're putting yourself out there to date, you want to be liked. You want to be received. You want the other person that you fucking fancy to like you back. So of course, you're naturally met with this push and pull of, what if I'm rejected? So I noticed the more I was trying to step out of my comfort zone with that and like not repeat any past patterns and like show up differently and all these different things, that I was just bombarded with all of the crazy chaotic talk. So I reminded myself in those moments, I was like, Kira, this is just your comfort zone. This is just your comfort zone of trying to pull you back. And even like, I've experienced it with business as well this year, like of setting bigger goals and just bigger goals in terms of business. I could notice it's what they call your upper lip, like where it's the ceiling that you reach before you pull yourself back down. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of that, but it's basically you reach this level of like, what, let's use happiness, because this actually does happen, right? You have a baseline of happiness. So when you go past that baseline, you'll eventually reach a ceiling. And the ceiling is like your cap of what you think is possible for you to feel. Because you're so used to, let's just say, bare minimum happiness, you will pull yourself back down. You will always be, do you ever wonder why am I always back here? Same with the binge restrict cycle. Actually, that's a good example as well. But same with that. Why do I always end up back in this binge restrict cycle? Number one, because you haven't fully healed it. But the same goes for the happiness thing. You will always pull yourself back down to bare minimum happiness because you haven't realized that you've actually capped and put a ceiling on how much happiness you'll allow yourself to experience. So the same goes for me with business. I believed, I had so many limiting beliefs around business and what I believed to be possible, that every time this year that I tried to step out of that, I was bombarded with thoughts of like, oh no, maybe that's it now, Kira. Maybe that's it. Like, you know, even in terms of Bali, let's just say, maybe you have to go home now. You know what I mean? And sorry, this turned into a long episode, but that's the prime example just happening. It's all happening in the same way. Like, I hope you're listening to this being like, fuck yeah, Kira, this is all actually happening the same way. So stepping out of comfort zone, whether it's business, career, friend, romance, relationship, earning money, your health anxiety, it's all the same loop that your brain follows. It's drag them back here because this is where we're comfortable. We're comfortable in this fight or flight because this is all we know. We don't know safety. Why would we want safety when we don't know safety? So everything that's outside of your comfort zone is uncomfortable, but it's also not safe. So when your nervous system doesn't feel safe, it's going to want to drag you back into, even if it's chaos. I hope this helps you understand, mainly if you're struggling with health anxiety, that it is a deep fear underneath that we need to be able to regulate. And that safety that you're searching for through money, love, career, health anxiety, asking all the doctors in the world. Now, this is also me not saying, okay, by the way, this is like disclaimer that like genuinely, like if you have health concerns, like real life health concerns, go to the doctor. What I'm talking about, like health anxiety in terms of every single fucking day, like you get a headache and you're thinking you have a brain tumor, you're worrying that you're going to get cancer, every like these type of thoughts is what I'm thinking about. I'm not talking about like you notice like a lump or you notice different things, or you know you want to get something checked out, or just something's wrong with your period or anything. Like please, again, this is not like medical advice, okay? If you have something wrong or you feel something is wrong, always go and get it out. But this is for the girl who were like me, who struggled with health anxiety. Like if I got a bite, I was thinking I was poisoned. If I had a headache, I was thinking, oh God. And especially if the headache lasted more than a couple of hours, I was like, oh, there's something wrong. That's what I'm talking about. And it's to help you calm yourself down. But again, like I done the other day, never be afraid to ask, okay? Even though I knew in that moment, I don't need to ask her. But in the moment, I didn't trust myself. I didn't trust the experience. So I had to ask. So don't be afraid to. Even if you know this is just health anxiety, again, don't be afraid to ask. But I'm just talking about when this starts to take over your life the way it did for me, and it was all I could think about, that's when you need to shift the focus and ask yourself, okay, well, what part of this, I obviously don't feel safe in myself, so how can I work on that? How can I make myself feel safe? So again, if you have any questions, please do come to me. Let me know if you enjoyed this episode. I actually really enjoyed talking. I didn't even pause this once, except for when my laptop died, so that's impressive. I also don't have any notes, just freeballing all of this. So I hope you enjoyed it. Let me know your thoughts, and I cannot wait to hear from you guys.